From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. President Obama and Russian President Dmitry Medvedev have signed a new strategic arms reduction treaty in Prague. Mr. Obama says the two countries are demonstrating a commitment to responsible global leadership.
Together, we are keeping our commitments under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, which must be the foundation for global nonproliferation.
NPR's Mara Liasson says the new treaty applies to one category of nuclear arms, long-range weapons.
The new Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, or START, pledges both countries to cut their arsenals of nuclear warheads by about 30%. The treaty has to be approved by both the Russian Parliament and the U.S. Senate, where it will need a two-thirds vote to pass. That's a high hurdle in a body where Democrats only have 59 votes. Ridding the world of nuclear weapons is one of the president's most ambitious goals. Earlier this week, he unveiled a new nuclear posture review, which said the U.S. would not design any new nuclear warheads. And next week, the president hosts dozens of world leaders at the Nuclear Security Summit in Washington, which is intended to help make sure terrorists can't get a hold of nuclear materials they'll need to make a bomb. Mara Liasson, NPR News, The White House.
Rescue crews at a West Virginia coal mine are heading into the mine this morning to find four miners still missing after an explosion on Monday. They had to ventilate the mine, which was filled with methane gas, first. 25 people died in the explosion. It's likely no criminal charges will be filed against a Qatari diplomat responsible for a bomb scare on a flight from Washington, D.C. to Denver last night. No explosives were found on the man. He apparently was just trying to smoke in the bathroom. But as NPR's Jeff Brady in Denver reports, that's little comfort to the families of passengers on the flight.
As the plane landed in Denver, it was ushered by emergency vehicles to a secure area of the airport. Passengers tell NPR they were interviewed by the FBI, but most said they were not even aware there was a problem until the crew said something had happened and that they would be delayed. Family members of passengers, like Debbie Adams, waited for hours in the terminal.
Well, it's just ridiculous that these things happen and then people are inconvenienced, and now everyone's going to be more inconvenienced traveling.
But another passenger who was released around midnight said she was satisfied with how passengers were treated by United Airlines, even though the delay was an inconvenience for her. Jeff Brady, NPR News at the Denver International Airport.
Kyrgyzstan opposition leaders say they're in control of the government after days of protests forced President Kurmanbek Bakiyev to flee the capital for a southern city where he has a base of support. Opposition leader Rosa Otunabayeva says she is heading an interim government for 6 months. Bakiyev's opponents say he's employed heavy-handed repressive tactics since he was brought to power in 2005 in a popular uprising. This is NPR News. A court in China has sentenced a former medical worker to death after he stabbed 8 schoolchildren to death. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports the verdict is swift, coming less than 2 weeks after the attack.
State media pictures show 41-year-old former community doctor Zheng Minsheng standing before a court in an orange prison vest and handcuffs. Zheng admitted to intentionally stabbing 8 children to death and wounding 5 others as they arrived at an elementary school in southeast China's Fujian province on March 23rd. Prosecutors displayed video clips of the attack as evidence. Zheng told the court he had been spurned by his girlfriend and her wealthy family. Police say Zheng has no history of mental illness. The attack has focused attention on the issue of security at Chinese schools. China's education minister recently commented that if students' lives could not be protected, then there would be no education. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
Government news reports say a dozen people have now died in a flooded mine in northern China. Rescuers are trying to find more survivors. 115 men were rescued from the mine after being trapped for 8 days. The mine flooded on March 28th. The Roman Catholic clergy sex abuse scandal widens further with revelation that a Memphis, Tennessee priest the church believes abused minors is still working in a congregation and that parishioners were not told of his past. A review board first decided the allegations against Father William Cantner dating back to the 1970s had no merit, then reversed itself. But Cantner is still working as a priest. Newly unsealed documents also show the Memphis diocese has protected at least one other accused priest. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.